Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days, and I think in the end this means when Jesus comes back, that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established above the mountains and will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. Well, I think the mountains and the hills represent nations. And the kingdom of God is going to be exalted above all of them. So, wherever we are, in Australia, in Latvia, in England, wherever in the world we are, Russia, Ukraine, Africa, whatever, the kingdom of God will be established above all the things of this world. And many people will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So instead of us going out on the streets trying to say to people, hey, accept the gospel, have a look at this, people will come to us. And if we love teaching people the gospel in this life, then we will love being in the kingdom of God, when people will actually come to us. And he will judge between the nations and decide issues between many peoples, and they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. So all their tanks and all their rifles and all their military weapons will be turned into good things to use for agriculture. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let's walk in the light of the Lord. So because the kingdom is coming, let's now live that kind of life now. That's what he's saying. And Jesus sort of teaches the same when he says, you can have the eternal life now. And he means we can live the kind of life that we're going to live in the kingdom of God. We can live that now. But you've forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they're filled with the ways of the east. And they've become like the Philistines, and they've made agreement with foreigners. So instead of wanting this wonderful hope of the kingdom in the future, the people of God at that time were just filled up with all the ways of the world around them. Their land is full of silver and gold. There's no end of their treasure. Their land is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Anyone who knows the law of Moses will think, uh-oh, they were told they should not multiply horses and chariots. But Judah were full of horses and chariots. They were full of trust in human strength. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Whereas we're told that God and his fingers have created the world and us and all that is here. And the mean man is bowed down and the great man is brought low, so forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the fear of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty. That's alluding to how Moses hid in the rock whilst the glory of God passed by. The proud looks of man will be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So God hates pride. And when Jesus comes back, there will be no more pride. For there shall be a day of the Lord of hosts upon all the proud and all the arrogant, upon all that are lifted up, and it shall be brought low, and upon all the proud cedar trees of Lebanon, and on all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains and the hills that are lifted up, and every lifted up tower and strong wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the images. And the pride of man will be bowed down, and the arrogance of man will be brought low, and Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will utterly pass away. So then in that day there will be no more pride. And it just shows how for all the things that God could have criticized Judah for, he hates their pride. And men will go into the caves, into the rocks, and into the holes of the earth because of the glory of the majesty of the Lord when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day men will throw away their idols of silver and gold, which they've worshipped. They will throw them to the moles and to the bats, and they will go into the clefts of the jagged rocks from before the terror of Yahweh and the glory of his majesty. So all the things that man considers to be so cool, really expensive cell phones, technology, smart wonderful expensive cars and all that. They'll throw it all away. They think, I don't want this. And the point is that we are now in the presence of God's glory. And we should realize that and not have any idols at all. Cease from man whose breath is in his nose. What is he to be accounted of? Now stop trusting in man, he's saying, because man is so weak. Man's got breath in his nose, and when he dies, that goes out, and he goes back to the dust, and death is unconsciousness. So don't trust in man. That's what he's saying. Don't think, oh, that guy's cool. Ooh, I'd like to be strong and wonderful like him or her. Because all this is going to perish when Jesus comes back.